Assalamu alaikum. This is Radio Pakistan. Listeners, you are listening to News and Current Affairs channel of Radio Pakistan, Islamabad Station. The program is Perspective. Program is simultaneously broadcast from Radio Pakistan Islamabad at 11:52 kHz, from Lahore at 13:32 kHz, from Karachi at 6:39 kHz, from Quetta 7:56 kHz, and from Peshawar 11:70 kHz. Listeners, on every Wednesday, Radio Pakistan's News and Current Affairs channel and United Nations Pakistan broadcast a special program highlighting the working of United Nations in Pakistan. And for that connection, today we will be talking about how to engage men and boys in ending violence against women and girls. And to talk on this very celebrated topic, we have been joined by very renowned and distinguished guests in our studios. We have been honored by the presence of Mr. Neil Bunay, Resident Coordinator of United Nations in Pakistan. Thank you very much, Neil, for coming to Radio Pakistan. We have also been joined by Mr. Jamshed M. Ghazi, Country Representative of United Nations Women. A very warm welcome. And we have with us Khawar Mumtaz, Chairperson for the National Commission on the Status of Women. A very warm welcome, ma'am. Thank you very much for being part of radio program. And this is a very important topic, and this is very interesting topic as well, because these days all of the plannings on the part of UN definitely incorporate this slogan of ending violence against women, especially by engaging men and boys. So in this connection, coming to you, Neil, how the UN programming generally is incorporating this sloganeering?
Well, I think it's important to recognize that this is a problem that affects one-third of women around the world, and it affects people in poor communities, it affects people in rich communities, in countries everywhere. And by doing that, I mean, it takes women out of, or limits their development opportunities. I mean, a woman who's subject to violence gets on with regular life, but can have all sorts of difficulties. It can limit their voice within family, it can limit their voice within society. Unfortunately, it limits their choice. And it's an issue that is so widespread that if it's not dealt with more broadly by society, it can actually undermine the health of society. So for the United Nations, it's a specific issue, and that's why we have the 16 Days of Activism, which is a campaign that was started by civil society many, many years ago, and our colleague Khawar Mumtaz was one of the originators of that. But it's also something the UN adopted from 2008. And the point is that we try to include these issues in all parts of our program. For example, I was just in SWAT on Friday and Saturday, opening a project that UNDP and the European Union were supporting. And it was working with police, because there's not enough women police officers. Because there's not enough women police officers, it means it's often very difficult, if a woman is subject to violence, even if she's within the law, to make the complaint, or the complaint is not accepted, or somehow she's felt to be making something up and she should deal with the problem in her house. It's a personal issue, it's not a legal issue. Well, it is a legal issue, because there's so many cases where women have been subjected to violence, and they've tried to report it. They've not been able to report it. They're subjected to more violence, and sometimes that's even led to their death. So what we're doing through that project is we've made it easier for women to train as police officers. We've built a dormitory together with, in this case, the KPK police. Within that dormitory, we've included a creche so that the women can bring along their children. They're not limited by having to worry about childcare by their husband or by their relatives. And fundamentally, we've created a situation where it's easier for women to be police, and through that, there are be easier for women to report on issues. But, you know, it's the men in the police, it's the commanders of the police who have decided that this is important. And that's where I think the issue of men's roles come in. You have to have an organization as important as the Pakistan police, or in this case the KPK police, people at the management level who are willing to take the risk, go against convention and say, this is important, we need to have women police officers if we're going to stop violence against women.
So this is very important. So you have talked about 16 days of activism, and definitely I will come to Ma'am Khawar Mumtaz for this, because she originated this campaign. But I would like to have comments of Mr. Jamshed Qazi, who is representing UN Women in Pakistan. So I mean, as it is related to women and these 16 days of activism, they are very important in this connection. So how UN in Pakistan generally, and specifically talking about UN Women, how you are celebrating these 16 days of activism?
Well, I think Neil has given a very good overview already. I think 16 days, just to explain a bit, the 16 days starts on the 25th of November every year, which is the International Day for Elimination of Violence Against Women, and it continues until the 10th of December, which is International Human Rights Day. But I think we will all agree that 16 days is not nearly enough. It is just a window of opportunity for us to highlight these issues in the media, you know, like we are doing now, in campaigning, in programs. But, you know, there are 365 days in a year, and every single one of those days you will find in Pakistan and elsewhere that women and girls are being subjected to violence. So these 16 days merely is a way to highlight, to galvanize, to amplify these voices. So, and you will see that across the world what also happens, you might find that buildings across the world and structures are bathed in orange. Orange symbolizing the color brightness, having a brighter future. Last year, for instance, in Pakistan, the Pakistan National Monument here in Islamabad, in Chakarparian, was lit in orange. I believe this year in Lahore, Minar-e-Pakistan, was also lit in orange. Again, these are symbolic, but it's very important to see that people, private sector, all different partners, civil society are coming together to commemorate and amplify this message that this is something that has to stop. One in three, as Neil has said, this is an average. I think in Pakistan we actually don't even know really the numbers yet, but we would all, I think, from all the activists, civil society, and our own estimates, it is far beyond one in three, if you include not just physical violence, but emotional abuse. And non-violence is not just violence that happens in the home, but violence also in other forms of harassment happening in the streets, in the public spaces. So you asked me, you know, what are the kinds of things that we are doing? Well, as UN Women, we are a part of the UN system. We work very closely with the governmental bodies, like with the National Commission on the Status of Women and the provincial commissions, the women's departments, women development departments, but also civil society. So just one quick example that I can share with you. For instance, in KP, again, I come back to KP because I think that's often a difficult. In some ways, it's very conservative in many ways, and therefore the challenges are also quite acute. But there is a program that we are about to start, which is setting up women buses in KP. And this has been a great demand by the women in KP in three cities. I believe it's Abbottabad, Mardan, and Peshawar, where women are saying that they have such difficulty in getting to and from work, to and from school in a safe environment. So these buses, hopefully, we also look forward to having even a few female bus drivers and conductors. Why not? You know, this is again breaking the stereotypes. And I think if this is something that can happen there, then I think it can happen really anywhere. And it's about, this is also going to changing male mindsets. When men become more accustomed to seeing more women on the streets, in the markets, in the workplace, I think that will also generate a greater acceptance, which is not currently happening as much. So I think that's how you really begin to also change the minds and the mindsets and attitudes, where we still have a situation, not just in Pakistan, where far too many men feel that they have an entitlement, that they are in a superior position, and that women have a certain role that they must play. So I think violence very much feeds into that narrative, and that's something that's very hard to break. We can have laws, which we do, we can have policies, but the real nub of the issue really is, I think, about changing mindsets, changing attitudes, which are very deeply ingrained, and it's not only in Pakistan, but since we are in Pakistan, we have to work towards this.
So you have been referring to the structural issues which are, you know, pertaining to and the violence. So coming to ma'am, it's been said that it's basically the idea somehow related to you, that these days of activism. So I mean, what are the factors that basically contributed towards emergence of this very unique idea that later on became a very integral part of the UN system as well?
Actually, this was, I wouldn't call it my unique idea. This was with reference to an incident in the Caribbean where three sisters were murdered for their activism for restoration of democracy there. And that was picked up, those deaths were picked up by civil society, first in Latin America, then in the West, and then all over the world, as symbol of women's violence against women for their activism. And I think that's where it became current. And in 1991, it was announced as a worldwide campaign by a leadership program being run in New York. So it's the Rutgers University that they started. But it was the idea, caught on, because women all across the globe could relate to that experience of violence. And therefore, it caught a lot of imagination and inspired women all over the place to campaign against violence. And these 16 days then became part of the UN campaign also. And it's very symbolic that the 16 days start with the 25th November, the day to mark the elimination of violence against women, and ends with the Human Rights Day. So it is that period where all human rights activists are also looking at the violations of human rights, and within that framework you have the focus on women's violence and how we need to eliminate it. And in Pakistan it has gained momentum over the years, and I think the UN system has facilitated that momentum, and I think we need to take that. And as Jamshed has just said, this is the period where we highlight all the issues, because we know in Pakistan, in domestic violence from your male partners, 40% women have suffered physical abuse. And this is through the data statistics available. There are many more who have suffered abuse which has been mental and social and economic violence, where they're not allowed to move around to go and pursue economic activity. That in itself is also violent. So this understanding of violence and its various forms is also very important. And this is, the campaigns have led to new laws. But again, laws are not enough. We have to have people who understand that this violence is a very fundamental violation of a woman's right. And we have to change people's attitudes. The sense that in our society men have that they own women, and they have to decide what women can do or not. And if they do not do their bidding, they can be violated. And there's always that fear of violence that hangs on the women's head. And I think we have to campaign against it.
So, I mean, these 16 days are very important regarding the ending of violence against women, because they are definitely symbolically highlighting the issue, and a lot of things are being done to propagate the message generally. So, I mean, apart from UN Women, Neil, coming to you, what other UN agencies are doing in connection with the 16 days of activism, and how they are doing to effectively disseminate this idea of ending violence?
Well, I don't think it's necessary to break down every agency, but I think what's important is that, I mean, we have work that deals with young women. I'll mention UNICEF in this case, and they have activities to ensure, for example, in the educational curriculum, that this is brought up. The UN Population Fund has done great work in many countries on this. When I was resident coordinator in Sri Lanka, for example, on this day, we actually launched a bus campaign, not like the one in Peshawar that Jamshed mentioned, but it was a particular campaign with these buses running throughout Colombo to draw attention to the violence that was happening and the abuse actually on public transport. And it was more of an awareness rather than just a women's only bus. And I mean, it just to divert a little diversion that my son was working in Sri Lanka during that period, and he was actually on a bus and he saw a fellow really treating improperly, to put it politely, one of the women passengers. So he intervened. And as a father, when I heard that, it made me very proud that he was able to actually protect this woman. And once he did it, actually the other people on the bus jumped in. But it just took the first person to do something. And I think that's sometimes the role the UN can play, that we can sometimes be the first one to jump in and say, well, this is wrong. And other people in society know it's wrong, but they're a little bit hesitant to take the first step. So our role maybe is not always to take the first step, but it's to empower people to take that step. And I think that's one nice example.
So, I mean, so UN is doing a lot of things to basically promote this campaign of...
Well, the UN, it's people who are doing a lot. And our role is to catalyze people to do more. I mean, it's not just us. I mean, it's not us that lit up the Minari Pakistan. It was working with people in the Pakistan government. It's working with civil society. I think what's important for this day is people include men. And if you're going to bring about change on this issue, and you need to empower women policemen, and women have to have women lawyers that they can go to, which is another project we're working on. But fundamentally, it's about men stepping up. Like, I hesitate to use the example, but since it's at the top of my head right now, my own son, you know, sticking up on this bus in Sri Lanka and saying, hey, you don't abuse this woman. You don't touch her in the wrong way. And that's the role men can play.
So, listeners, we are in conversation with Mr. Neil Bunne, Resident Coordinator of UN Pakistan, Mr. Jamshed M. Qazi, Country Representative UN Women, and Ms. Khawar Mumtaz, Chairperson for the National Commission on the Status of Women. And we are discussing how to engage men and boys in ending violence against women and girls. And but as of now, we will be moving on to the Mid-Hour News Bulletin. Prime Minister says CPAC will transform the socio-economic landscape of Pakistan by bringing prosperity to the people. Minister of State for Information says the government believes in freedom of expression. Foreign Office has said Pakistan is attending Heart of Asia conference in India because it relates to Afghanistan. Hurriyat leader Mirwais Umar Farooq says a just solution to Kashmir dispute is legal and moral responsibility of the United Nations. In India, Congress Party has accused the government of helping black money hoarders by amending income tax law. International Cricket Council has cleared bowling action of Pakistan right arm off spinner Muhammad Hafiz. Listeners, with this, we'll take a short break. Stay tuned to Radio Pakistan's News and Current Affairs channel. We will be right back. Radio Pakistan's News and Current Affairs channel. For in-depth discussion and analysis of top news stories of national and international significance. Tune in to Current Affairs Channel, 8 a.m. to 11 p.m. for credible, accurate and unbiased shades of opinion. Keep listening to Radio Pakistan.
Radio Pakistan's News and Current Affairs Channel for in-depth discussions and analyses of top news stories of national and international significance. Tune into Current Affairs Channel, 8 a.m. to 11 p.m. for credible, accurate and unbiased shades of opinion. Keep listening to Radio Pakistan.
Welcome back, listeners. This is Radio Pakistan's News and Current Affairs Channel. I'm your host, Waqas Saleem, with your favorite program, Perspective. And today we have been joined by Mr. Jamshed Qazi, Country Representative of UN Women Pakistan, Mr. Neil Bunne, Resident Coordinator of UN Pakistan, and Khawar Mumtaz, Chairperson of the National Commission on the Status of a Woman. And today we are discussing that how to engage men and boys in ending violence against women and girls. And before going to break, we were talking about that how UN system in Pakistan is celebrating with the partners the 16 days of activism, and what are the steps being taken by different UN agencies to celebrate the 16 days of activism in Pakistan. And we have other examples from the globe as well, that how further certain steps have been taken to eradicate this very important issue. So now moving on, coming to the solution of the issue, I mean, since we have been working a lot on this issue and a lot of things have been achieved so far as well, whereas a lot needs to be done. So how we can put an end to this endemic violence against women and girls, specifically in Pakistan? So, Mr. Qazi?
I think that's a million-dollar question, in fact, multi-million-dollar. But I think there is, we have to recognize that a lot of efforts are being done. I think the level of awareness in Pakistan, I think, is now much greater than it has ever been. But at the same time, the scale of the problem is also kept pace. So in the reporting in the media, of course, you still see a lot of cases almost on a daily basis that violence continues. Now, it couldn't be a combination of actually an increase, but also better reporting and more awareness. So both those things are happening. And I would say that, of course, we have to work at the policy side, you have to work at the legal side, you have to work on the law enforcement side, you have to work on the attitudinal change. Throwing an example, and there are many of these. Education, as has been mentioned by Neil, is really very important. That in the school curriculum, for instance, I understand in Punjab, and it could be the other case in other provinces, but in the grade class 8 to 12, already there is a decision has been taken to include gender-based violence in the textbooks, which is a very promising and encouraging development, because unless this is actually taught, or you're introduced to these issues through a formal schooling, you may not take it as seriously. I want to also mention that when we speak of men and boys, I think among the three most problematic words in the English language is "be a man." Mm-hmm. What does that exactly mean to? And I know many listeners out there, have children, have sons, it's about, are we saying to them, by saying be a man, be more aggressive, don't take no for an answer, don't show your emotional side? These are the messages that we may inadvertently be giving to our sons. The kind of toys that they are playing, or the kind of treatment that we give to girls and boys at the same time. I think it's important that the other thing is, in many countries that we have seen, there is a correlation between when more men spend time with their newborns and their children in child caring, with the mother, you find that the men are less likely to be prone to engaging in violence, more caring attitudes. And this has been, so there is a very interesting link between actually the notion of paternity leave, that is giving men, as you know, time off to be with their kids, and putting it into law. And when you see that happen, you see that there is a link, that more men become more attentive and more sensitive to the issues around violence, and they're also better fathers, which is very important, both for their sons and their daughters. So I think that may have, I think there are some policy implications perhaps in Pakistan to take this issue also quite seriously. I don't think in many countries around the world that paternity leave, and this is just one example, there are many others, is taken as seriously. So what we find over the years, what has happened is, while women have become more economically independent across the world, what has not changed much in all these years, men still are not taking more responsibility in the home for caring, with whether it's household work or caring for the children. And I think that is something that perhaps needs to be given more focus on than has been over the past years, if we want to make that shift and that change. So a lot more can be said, but I really want to have other speakers weigh in with their thoughts and views.
So coming to Ms. Khawra Mumtaz, Chairperson for the National Commission on the Status of Women, when you have a very contextual experience of Pakistan relating to this menace of violence against women and girls in Pakistan, so what is your take on that, how we can end this violence against women, and what type of steps that immediately needs to be taken out for the eradication of this problem from the country?
I think our goal is elimination of violence and eradication, but we also realize it's not going to be as easy as we would like it to be, or at fast pace. But I think many things, you have to look at it from different angles. Number one, it's very important to acknowledge that there is violence against women. A lot of times even women don't feel that, a slap here and there is violence, because it's accepted, they think this is what they deserve. And I think that we have to start looking at that as even demeaning a person is violence. And therefore it's important to bring attention to it. The way that we've had attention brought to it is through the passage of laws. There are now a huge number of laws which tackle the issue of violence against women. But we find that having laws is not enough. And as Jamshed has already said, even policies are not enough, but we have to systematically address the issue. One systematic thing is to know exactly what the spread is. How much does it occur? Which areas have more violence, which have fewer violence, which is the form which is most used, which is the form which is least used, and then make interventions which are suitable to those particular things. The other thing is to start in schools. Yes, the end of violence has to be where boys and girls both feel that it is nobody's right to be violent against another person. Secondly, we also have to change behaviors inside the house. We know that if a man looks after a baby or changes a nappy or gives a bottle to a child, a lot of other men will make fun of him. I think we need to change those images. And for that, the media is very important, your radio as well as the TV, to show role models of good men who work at home, share experiences, share a woman's problems and issues, and are sympathetic. And I think that change has to come from the house to the society and at workplaces. We have laws for it, but I think it should be, ideally it should come from inside everybody, to not violate another person, especially a woman, because she's seen as a weaker person. She's seen as a physically weak, she's seen as a downtrodden person you can take advantage of. And I think all of us have to put in their bits, from making quotas for women to work, making an environment where men and women can work together, and creating suitable situations. While she goes on a bus, she doesn't have to be abused. Or if she's sitting in an office, she doesn't have to be abused. Men have to make that effort to make those environments secure for women. And I think that's why there's a huge responsibility there. And as I said, the fact that there are laws, now we have to see that those who implement the laws know about them and are sensitive to it. Thirdly, we have to see that that men who are in positions of power, through their actions, show that it is possible to be, human and not be violative. So it will happen gradually, but I think we still need to work more on it, and I think media has a very strong role to play on it.
Now we can say that in the contemporary society, the role of media is very important in tackling this issue of violence, because the way media glorify or present or report a thing is very important. So in this connection, how do you see this role of media, and specifically what needs to be done regarding media so that we can have effectively end or we can end this violence against women and girls? Javed Ghazi.
Well, I think media, there's no doubt in my mind that media has and will continue to play a very important role in shedding light on this. I think that as more and more people are on social media, more and more people consume social media through various networks. The phone penetration is growing, and the young people are using this more and more. I must say that I have found at least a greater coverage and treatment of these issues. There is more coverage in the news, at least in the English media that I'm able to read, that when violence does occur, it is covered. And oftentimes what I do is, when there is an outbreak of violence that I find on media, I immediately try to connect that with one of the government departments and colleagues that I know to say, have you seen this? And it's really credit to the media that brings this to our attention. And sometimes, the average citizen in Pakistan may be trying to access justice, is having difficulty. And once a local media outlet picks it up, that elevates that situation. It helps that individual tremendously to bring that issue to light. And, you find the wheels of justice begin to turn faster. And this is not only in Pakistan. It happens almost everywhere. But I think that that's a great thing that media does. But you also have to think about those far-flung areas where media may not be reaching. What happens to that individual who may have been a victim of violence? And how does she avail justice? So I think the media's role is important. But I think it's also we also have to recognize that the system should equally work well when somebody is not watching as when somebody is watching. And I will also say maybe one more point, and that is, I understand a bit of Urdu, and sometimes I watch TV and I find these drama serials that come on TV quite disturbing at times. Mostly the themes are very much around certain stereotypes and the stereotypical housewife, the stereotypical mother-in-law, and the consequences there. Now, this may be a reflection of what is happening in society, but at the same time, we should also spend more efforts in showing positive role models and when things are working very well. And I think that story isn't coming out as much. So there is a challenge. Sometimes people will say, well, it's because that's what people want to watch. I'm not so sure. I mean, I think that there are many people who would wish to see a different reality, which is actually Pakistan. So I think it's important that media also takes it upon itself, different media, to show a picture of Pakistan which is well-balanced and where there are very positive stories that people can take inspiration from. And that will help in curbing some of the violence.
So let me take this opportunity to emphasize that the point where electronic media or other media channels are not reaching out, Radio Pakistan has an outreach, and this program in fact is an effort to spread the message of ending violence against women and girls to all those areas where electronic channels are not reaching appropriately. So, I mean, this is very positive of the radio network as well. So, listeners, with this, we will take a short break. Stay tuned to Radio Pakistan's News and Current Affairs channel. We will be right back. Radio Pakistan's News and Current Affairs channel for in-depth discussion and analysis of top news stories of national and international significance. Tune into Current Affairs channel
8 a.m. to 11 p.m. for credible, accurate and unbiased shades of opinion. Keep listening to Radio Pakistan.
Radio Pakistan's News and Current Affairs channel for in-depth discussions and analyses of top news stories of national and international significance. Tune into Current Affairs channel 8 a.m. to 11 p.m. for credible, accurate and unbiased shades of opinion. Keep listening to Radio Pakistan.
Welcome back, listeners. This is Radio Pakistan's News and Current Affairs channel. The program is Perspective. I'm your host, Waqas Saleem from Islamabad Studios. And we are in conversation with Mr. Neil Bunay, Resident Coordinator of UN in Pakistan, Mr. Jamshed Qazi, Country Representative of UN Women, and Ms. Khawar Mumtaz, Chairperson of the National Commission on the Status of Women. And we are discussing how to engage men and boys in ending violence against women and girls. So as we have been talking about that steps needs to be taken for the eradication and elimination of violence against women and girls especially, and in this connection males are major stakeholder and they needs to be engaged effectively for the achievement of the said goal. So how do you see, Mr. Qazi, that how we can have men and boys effectively engaged to end violence against women and girls?
Well, I think, it's already been mentioned that I think it's important to have positive role models. And the men, it's very difficult for a teenage boy to take an action that Neil had referred to earlier. You know, he talked about his son that had spotted something that was happening on a bus, an act of potential violence. It takes a great deal of courage, at least in a peer group with other young boys, where it isn't considered to be cool or very popular to take a very unpopular stance. If somebody is making a joke or harassing a young woman, that is often seen as something that you do. It's a rite of passage almost. And for a boy to, step out of that and say, well, this is wrong, you shouldn't be doing this, I think that takes a lot of courage. But that's something we should nurture. And that's a sort of behavior that we should reward, in fact. And I think that to me really is at the early stages where it happens. Obviously, the family plays an important role. But I think that for all of us men, and in fact it's not just boys, grown men, when you're at a function or something and you have a friend who comes to you and says something derogatory about a woman at a party, how many times do we as men even say, actually, that is not a very nice thing to say? We sometimes find ourselves, at least I have observed, that sometimes men will indulge in that behavior, and they will not do anything to stop it. So I think that these are very minor steps, but they're very important in setting boundaries and saying that if you are allowing yourself to do this, then the next step might be raising your hand. The next step may be even further. So I think that unless men themselves are able to tell other men and hold them to account, that really makes a difference. And I would say that here also the role of social influencers is very important. We have famous cricketers in Pakistan. We have famous, actors who are role models and they are looked up to. And what they do and what they choose to say in public life is so important. And the same goes for public figures. So as we get more and more of these men to take a stand publicly, and we're hoping through also UN Women some campaign that we do this, we hope that that voice reaches out to the masses and the young men who look up to these people will say, oh, okay, it's no longer cool to be aggressive towards women. I should actually be like him. So I think that you've asked a very difficult question, and it's a simplistic answer, and it's not the full thing, but I think we have to be able to, as men, rein in other men. women and mothers can do something, but I think men have a role as fathers, as brothers, as friends, to also be able to modulate that behavior. If we don't do it, then
before I move on to Ma'am Khawar Mumtaz regarding this very pertinent issue, I think your example can be a very good example. Being a male, you are heading UN Women, and you yourself are doing a lot to end violence against women and girls. So I think this could be a very good example as well, a role model which you know we have been talking about for quite long. So ma'am, coming to you, as you have once again the experience from the Pakistan, so I mean keeping in view the Pakistani society, how do you see that the engagement of men and women, boys can be made effective in achieving all those which have been said by Mr. Javed Qazi?
I'd like to give an example. You see that we tend to stereotype women's roles. The women will make are the ones who do the cooking and the washing and whatever. I'll give you an example. I mean, this is a middle-class situation where there were men and women sitting in a group, you know, discussing some literary work. And the tea comes in. So the person who brings the tea, the men around, they turn to a woman and say, "It's your task, you serve the tea." So the woman gets up. This is a real example. And then she says, "Why should I? Why don't one of you pour the tea for everyone?" And for a minute everybody's quiet, and then and she goes back and sits down, because initially, you know, almost like a reflex, she gets up to pour the tea. Then all of a sudden she realizes why. She says, "Why can't you serve the tea?" And the gentleman who was the host had to get up and serve the tea. And I think it will make everybody else, I think it made everybody else the next time not to use stereotypes. And I think we have to break these stereotypes. It was a small incident, but I have been reminded of it by many men who were there several times on subsequent occasions, because obviously it hit them somewhere. So I think little steps, as Jamshed says, do make a difference. And also those people who are seen as people in power, people in positions, in public positions, if they take those actions, you find that it makes a difference. It has an impact, because if a political leader makes a gesture which is an anti-stereotypical gesture, the others will also, the people around him will also follow. So that becomes the norm. So we have to break the negative norms. And it can happen, and we see it happen around us. We probably don't notice it enough. We see it happen where we're talking about sons. My son always bathes his baby, which is normally a woman does. Even the young mother always feels uncomfortable bathing a baby. But he did it, and everybody thought it was funny, but soon it was no longer funny. Others wanted to do other things to with their babies as they were born, of his peer group. So I think we make our impact as we go along, and we have to highlight it also.
So, Neil, as you've been working in Pakistan since 2015, so it's been quite a bit now, and you have Pakistani experience as well. So how do you see that Pakistani men and women, especially boys, can be engaged to effectively curb this menace of violence against women and girls?
Yeah, I've actually worked here since 1990 when I first came to Pakistan, and I think there are some positive changes since then. I mean, Khawra Mumtaz was just speaking about men's role in political leadership, and that's one of them. And when we were actually with Jamshed together, meeting Shahbaz Sharif a month and a half, 2 months ago, we actually brought up some of the work that was being done in Punjab. Of course, the legislation on violence against women, which he and his government took a leadership role on, but also very practical work, women on wheels. One of the biggest barriers to women getting out of the house and standing on their own and sort of having a stronger position within the family is transport. Mm-hmm. I mean, in Karachi, I know of a survey that was done, and of all the sort of motorcycles in Karachi, there's only 14 registered to women, and actually only two women were found to be riding them. whereas in Punjab, there was this campaign. And that's more about empowerment, but it's also something that changes the balance of power within the family. That's an example of leadership. I was just on Thursday in Peshawar and I met with the Chief Minister, Pervez Khattak, and we actually discussed the bus project which Jamshed referred to and what the benefits that would bring by permitting women to work. I was in Karachi meeting the new Chief Minister, Munir Ali Shah, I believe, and I brought up the issue of home-based workers legislation, and also the Provincial Council on the Status of Women, and he was very open to it. So that's an example of men's political leadership to make that happen. But it's equally important that in communities that happens. For example, I also was in Karachi on Thursday and Friday, and I went to the Irangi pilot program. And that was a program that was started by a great man called Akhtar Hamid Khan many years ago. The leadership of that was passed by him to another great woman,
Parveen,
who was brutally murdered 2.5 years ago. But the men in that organization are still respecting the leadership of women. The leadership is passed to another woman as well. And that organization, is working in small lanes in Kachiabadis of Karachi, and they see that there's a woman, actually, and the man is respecting the leadership of that woman. And it might not seem that stops a woman getting slapped, but in a way it does, because it's demonstrating behavior that respects the role and the abilities of women. And those are all examples of how men can play a role.
So as Ma'am Khawar Mumtaz has mentioned about the men in positions of power, and when we talk about power, definitely we refer to the government as well. So as Neil, you have been looking after the coordination of the UN team's work in Pakistan, definitely with the government of Pakistan as well. So how do you see the role that has been done by the government of Pakistan regarding ending violence against women, and what are the measures that have been taken and should be taken by the government side to make this thing more effective?
Well, I think one thing is that the National Council, the National Commission on the Status of Women, has a appointed leader, which is fairly recent, and that was a good move. But at the all sorts of ways, one is in ensuring, as Prime Minister Nawaz Sharif did, that in response to the issue of honor killings, that he committed to passing legislation, and that legislation actually went through. And that's an example of a man taking a leader. I was here in 1990, and that sort of issue wasn't really talked about publicly. In 1990, when I arrived and Prime Minister Nawaz Sharif first became Prime Minister, somehow that just wasn't on the political discourse. And then I was sitting in the Prime Minister's offices after the screening of the film by Shireen Obaid Chinoy, and he made this commitment. And that's perhaps the best example, that the Prime Minister of the country personally speaks from the heart on it, and that provides an example to people all around the country, and a man who's perceived as coming from a conservative background, and he's seen it's changed.
Thank you very much, Mr. Neil Bhune, Resident Coordinator of UN Pakistan, Mr. Jamshed Qazi, Country Representative of UN Women, and Khawar Mumtaz, Chairperson of the National Commission on the Status of Women. And listeners, you were listening to a conversation with all these three distinguished delegates regarding how to engage men and boys in ending violence against women in Pakistan. I'm your host, Waqas Saleem, signing off from today's perspective. But before, let me acknowledge my team that helped to broadcast this program: sound engineer Khurram Iqbal, coordinator Mudassar Hussain, program in charge Chaudhary Zameer Ashraf, and executive in charge for today's perspective, Javed Khan Jadoon. I'm your host, Waqas Saleem, signing off from today's perspective. Allah Nigeban.